Let's open our Bibles to James, the book of James, to chapter 2. And I want to start, we're going to look at the New King James, or the King James Version, and then a few other translations, possibly the New Century Version. Sometimes it's better to look at a more modern translation. We don't speak in Elizabethan King James, so sometimes it's not as clear to some of us. I guess if you live back in that time, it would be, but we don't. So James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, it says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Well, the answer to that would be no. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" Well, you could see that would be like you saying to a person today, "Well, I'll just get an agreement with you that your needs are met," without doing something. What doth it profit? Nothing. That's just words. "I'll get an agreement with you, but you're not doing anything. What doth it profit?" Or what good is it? You could say. Verse 17, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead," what? "Being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Isn't that interesting? He's saying here that you believe there's one God. You do well. So do the devils. Right? I don't want to be classified in that same vein. I don't want to be classified with the devils. What is he saying? He's given us a contrast in these scriptures, a contrast of faith that does nothing with faith that does something. This is the contrast here in this. So he's saying, yeah, the devils believe. Yeah, and so do you. It says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Let me read this in the New Century Version. It says, starting in verse 14, "My brothers and sisters, if people say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing." That's kind of strong. "Those that say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. Can faith like that save them?" The answer is no. So faith that does nothing is worth nothing. Let's say that. Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. Well, then what's the converse? Faith that does something is worth something. Faith that does something is worth something. Or what could we say? Faith that acts on what it believes, or real faith acts on what it believes. So if you really believe something, you act on it. You're going to act on something that you really believe. How many in here are married? Some are single, but some are married, right? Okay, let me ask this question. When you got to the place that you believed that that was the person for you, did you stop there? Otherwise, you wouldn't have been what? So you did something, right? You acted on what you believed. Simple example. You acted on what you believed, right? Otherwise, your faith was worth nothing. You had to act on it. Same thing. So what you truly believe in your heart, you will act on. Verse 15, a brother or sister in Christ might need clothes or food. I'm reading from the New Century Version. If you say to that person, God be with you, I hope you stay warm and get plenty to eat, but you do not give what that person needs, your words are worth nothing. That's pretty strong. In the same way, faith that is alone, that does nothing, is dead. Someone might say, you have faith, but I have deeds. Show me your faith without doing anything, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe there is one God. Good. But the demons believe that too, and they tremble with fear. You foolish person, must you be shown that faith that does nothing is worth nothing? Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. Abraham, our ancestor, was made right with God by what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. So you see that Abraham's faith and the things he did worked together. His faith was made perfect by what he did. This shows the full meaning of the scripture that says Abraham believed God and God accepted Abraham's faith, and that faith made him right with God. Same thing. You believed there's one God, but you had to take a step. In other words, your faith was there. We'll step over in this in a minute, but Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing. So faith came that you believed that Jesus was the Christ, the one that came and took your sins. So we had to then do something. What does it say? Those that believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus was raised from the dead shall be saved. So it was more than just believing. You had to do what? You had to make a profession of faith. So you had to act upon what you believed. Otherwise, your faith would have been worth nothing. That's what it says. Can you be saved? Can faith that like that save them? No. So faith came, but then faith has to be what? Released or acted upon. Faith that's not acted upon is dead faith. It's worth nothing. It's just talk. So faith does come. And that's why so often we hear people say, I'm believing God, I'm trusting God. And a lot of times I want to say, what does that mean? Because it sounds good, it's very churchy, it's church language, people can learn that, and I'm not certainly putting someone down or questioning someone's faith. But faith can be seen. Faith is visible. When people say, well, my faith is private, yes, it is, and it is between you and God. But faith is visible. Faith can be seen. And we'll see this in a moment. So verse 25, it says, another example is Rahab, a prostitute, who was made right with God by something she did. She welcomed the spies into her home and helped them escape by a different road. Just as a person's body that does not have a spirit is dead, so faith that does nothing is dead. Faith that does nothing is dead. Faith that just believes is dead faith. When you say, I believe, if you don't act on it, it's dead faith. That's why a lot of times we can be stagnant because we keep hearing. It's dead faith unless it's acted upon. So you can come to church and get fueled up. You can get excited. Faith can come. You can receive and say, yeah, I'm excited. But if you don't act on it, you become stagnant. It's dead faith. You say, does anybody understand that? And that's why a lot of times churches and individuals, could be either or, get excited about the Word of God, feed on it, are growing, but don't do anything. And there's no production. There's no, as we say, there's no results. You see. There can be other reasons, but there can be that reason also. So faith that does nothing is worth nothing. What does that mean? It doesn't produce fruit. It doesn't produce results. Or you could say it another way. It's faithless. There's no faith. Faith that's dead is faithless. It means nada. Nothing. Zero. Empty faith. No faith. Jesus said they were faithless. Same thing. So faith, there's a scripture in the King James that talks about faith unfeigned. It's kind of an unusual word, but we don't use it today in modern terms. Some may in their writings, but if you have unfeigned faith or something that's unfeigned, it means something genuine. It means real. So if you have feigned faith, it means fake faith. It means pretend faith. So something that's feigned is not real. Or you could say it's Hollywood faith. Because most things in Hollywood aren't real. It's fake. Right? Let's turn over to look at some examples here. Let's look at Luke chapter 5. And I was referring to this before. You can look at talking about faith, real faith, living faith is discernible. What do I mean by that? It's visible. It can be seen. And we see here in Luke chapter 5, isn't it interesting, in verse 17, it says, the power of God was present, the power of the Lord was present there to heal them. And it says they brought this man who had been taken with palsy. And of course, you read the story here, and they couldn't find a way to bring him in. It was, as they say, it was packed out, right? So what did they do? It says here, and when they could not find a way, this is verse 19, by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, what did they do? They went up upon the house top and let him down through the tiling. So they removed the tiling and let him down with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And what did Jesus say? And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins be forgiven. He saw their faith. What was it? That he was acting on what he was believing. And you better, if you're going to have some folks drop you down through a ceiling. So this man wanted to get something. He was out to get something. And he knew that this person, Jesus, could give him what he was looking for. He had heard of Jesus. And what does it say? The power of the Lord was present to heal. So we can see, let me read some other translations in James 2:14. And of course, this is some translations maybe you're not familiar with. It's called the WAND, W-A-N-D. It says, what good is it, brethren, if a man asserts that he possesses faith but does not reveal it in his actions? So your actions reveal what you believe. How many, you know, of course I asked how many were married, but you'd say, I love you, honey, and you don't show it. So your love is revealed not just in words, but in your actions. You wouldn't get too far with an I love you, honey, and no actions. There'd be some adjustments in that house. I can guarantee you. So your words have to be reflected, or your actions must reflect your words. This is the Berkeley translation. What is the use, my brothers, for anyone to say he has faith if he fails to act on it? God's Word translation. A body that, this is verse 26, a body that doesn't breathe is dead. In the same way, faith that does nothing is dead. So faith must be acted upon if we're going to get results. It has to be acted upon. I want to drive that home. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Douay Rheims translation, and of course when we talk about hearing the Word of God, I like this. Is a little clear. Faith then cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. What does that mean? The word of the anointed one, or the anointed word. So when we hear the anointed word, faith comes. It begins to stir in our heart. What are we supposed to do? Once our hearts are stirred, we see something. Faith is there for whatever it is that faith is there for. When I see that I'm to prosper, when I see that I can be healed or I am healed, then I'm to do what? Act. Now we don't get, see, this is sometimes the thing that folks stumble on. Is we don't get from point A to perfection in one step. It takes steps. We grow in steps. We develop in steps. Just like we developed from a child to adulthood, we grow in faith from babyhood to adulthood. In faith. And we get there by steps, feeding on the Word of God. We keep feeding and acting and growing, and feeding and acting and growing, step by step by step. And that's how we grow thereby. So when faith comes, we act. And we're acting on the anointed word that we've received. So faith comes, but then faith not only is acted upon, it's released. So I have to release my faith. How do we do that? We do it in our actions. We do it in our words. Other ways. So just because faith comes does not mean that a miracle manifests. See, a lot of times people think, well, I have faith, then I should be healed. Really? So some folks think, well, I have faith to be healed, but I'm not healed. I have faith to be prosperous, but I'm not prosperous. Why? Well, let's take a look at some examples in the Bible. Let's go over to Acts 14. See, we just got done looking at Luke 5, and it says the power of God was present to heal. How come nobody was getting healed? If the power of God was present to heal, how come no one was getting healed? It was when that man was let down through the roof, he acted upon his faith, that the power of God was released. Let's look at Acts 14. Acts 14, and let's look at starting in verse 8. It says, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. See, this is interesting. He never walked. The same heard Paul speak. So here's someone hearing the anointed word through Paul. So faith comes. Who steadfastly beholding him, Paul steadfastly is beholding him, and what? Perceiving that he had faith to be healed. He had faith to be healed. But he wasn't healed. He had faith, but he wasn't healed. But Paul perceived that he had faith, so what did he do? He helped him out a little bit here. He said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. He gave him a command. And what happened? He must have, because he said, and he leaped and he walked. So up to that point, the power of God was present to heal. No healing. He had faith to be healed. No healing. He had to act on it. He had to get up and do something. And it says, when he did, he leaped and he walked. So the man had faith, but still was not healed. When did the power of God manifest? The power of God manifested when he did something. When he got up, the power of God was activated in his life, and it caused him to leap and walk. So you can't leave up to God what he's left up to us to do. You can't leave that up to him. He's left some things up to us to do, to act upon. The faith that comes needs to be released. So again, faith that does nothing is worth nothing. So faith must be acted upon. So there's two things. Here's something to consider. If I want results, the God kind of results, and I want something from God, I want something promised from God, then who do I need to go to? That's pretty simple, right? I mean, it may sound kind of elementary, but you know the Bible is simple, and we make it complicated, and we try to dance around it and make it very complicated. Hebrews 11:6 says that it's impossible to please God without faith. He that what? He that dances around and doesn't go to God. It says, he that cometh unto God must believe that he is and he's a rewarder. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for results. I'm looking for something from God. So I need to go to God and believe he is, and he can give it to me. That's pretty simple, isn't it? It's not complicated. He that cometh unto God. So the first thing we need to do to get results is we need to go to God. That's pretty simple. We need to go to God, get his direction. You know, a lot of times we think, I know, I got that scripture. I know what to stand on. I know what to do. Really? It's best to go to him first, get some direction. He may tell you what scripture to stand on. Instead of you trying to figure out what scripture, go to God. There's nothing wrong with meditating in all the scriptures, because what happens, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I'm telling you, I remember I was home. This was many, many, many years ago. I was in bed. I had a very, very high fever. It must have been, I don't know, it was up in 100. Oh, way over 100, 102, 103. I was very delirious, just I wasn't feeling good. So I stayed home. And at that time, you can tell how long ago this was, we had cassette tapes. So I had a cassette tape of Brother Hagin, and it was on healing, and I just kept playing this tape. Actually, it was on faith. And I just kept playing this over and over. Click, turn the tape over. Click, turn it over. I was doing this hour after hour, and it went for a day, and I'm playing this, and I'm not feeling much better, but I'm feeding on the Word of God, him teaching. And so it got about a day and a half, and I said, you know what, maybe I'll call the doctor. So I decided I'll call the doctor. So I called the doctor, and they couldn't see me, and so they said, well, you got to wait a day or two, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So in that time, I decided, keep feeding. And of course, you know, if you let anything go for long enough, the fever started to feel like it was getting a little less, but I'm still feeling real weak. And so I'm laying in bed, and it felt like a volcano erupted here. Right here. And out of my spirit came tongues. And it was like a sword. Boom! And I knew I had it. I knew I had the victory. I knew I had it. And I felt like 10 miles of bad road. So I got out of bed. I called and canceled the doctor's appointment, and I said, I am healed, and I know it. I know it. Amen. Jumped in the shower, put my clothes on, and went to work. Not feeling much better, but I had it. And it wasn't long. Those symptoms, as they say, just melted away. Am I against doctors? No, but you need to be led when to go and when not to go. Because I can tell you, we have examples of the women with the issue of blood who was going to doctors for 12 years and got worse. So yes, doctors are here to help us. We thank God for them. But you better be led. And the truth of God's word, when he went to hell, he became sin for us. He became sickness for us. So when he rose from the dead, it says he has the keys of hell and death. So that means, am I to depend on doctors? No. As led, I may go to a doctor, as led. But what's my point? Hebrews 11:6. He that cometh unto God. Go to God first to get directions. Lord, should I go? If he says yes, you go. But if you don't get a witness to go, if he doesn't tell you to go, don't go. I've been there. There's times we need to go, and there's times we just need to trust God and believe God. I'm telling you that right now. And so, Hebrews 11:6, he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder. Well, once he gives you directions, what's the next thing we're supposed to do? I'll give you two words. Do it. So one, we come unto God and we get instructions from him. Number two, we do it. That's faith. So when I come unto God, I get directions from him, I can have faith at that point. When I get directions from him, I can have faith. I have faith when I get directions from God. I'm like, okay, the head of the church has given me something to do. He's given me directions. I have faith. He's going to reward me, what, if I do it? What's the third thing? Then I can expect results. I can expect the manifestation of that. I expect results. So that's the key. We want to go to God first. We want to get instructions, then do it, and then expect results. Hallelujah. This is how you get results. So real living faith is faith that does something. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 for a minute. Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm thinking about, as you're turning there, think about this story. Young man, he was in his 30s, I think, at the time. And he, this is many, many years ago, he was a young man, and he started listening to Brother Hagin, and faith started to grow in him. And he started to go to his meetings, and he started to trust God, and he was led to be in business. You know, everybody isn't led. That's why I say these principles can apply whether you're a minister or whether you're a lay person. Actually, there's more need for people who are lay people than there are ministers. There's more need for people in the laity to be a blessing where they are. So anyways, this man started to grow in faith, and he started to believe God, and he had, I forget whether it was $50 or $500, it wasn't much, and he began to trust and believe God, and he built it up, and he became a multi-millionaire as a young man. Had his own private jets, jets. He was in real estate, and he started to invest and be led by God. And the story goes that when he would get into these big real estate deals, he would just kind of close himself off for a day or two. And of course, you know, when you get that big, people are wanting your money. They want your money. They want you to invest. And he'd say, well, I'll get back to you. Let me just get quiet and so forth. And he'd always know what to do, how to invest. Invest in things that looked silly to invest in, but he would make a lot of money. And so it's the same thing. As we are feeding on the Word of God, faith will come, but it needs to then be acted upon. And it may not be something that your faith is a knowing in your heart, not in your head. That's the best way to put that. Everybody get to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you've done the what? The will of God, you might receive the promise. So you're going to have to do the will of God, not wait. That means you got to do something, not waiting. Some folks are saying, well, I'm waiting on God to do something. Well, that's dead faith. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he shall come. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So if we draw back instead of step out, God has no pleasure in it. So faith needs to do what? Step out, not draw back. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So that means we need to step out when we get directions. Let's take another look. Let's go over to John chapter 5. Let's look at another example here. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and this is the story of the Pool of Bethesda. And let's look at verse 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, doing what? Waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So just because the pool was troubled, no one got healed, did they? What does it say? It says, whosoever stepped in first. So just because the power of God was present to heal, no one was healed. This is the point. Presence of God was there to heal. No one was healed until someone stepped in and was healed of whatsoever disease they had. So there had to be an action. There had to be someone that stepped in. So an act of faith gives action to the power of God. So in other words, when someone acts, the power of God is released. Faith acted upon causes the power of God to be manifested when? In that exact moment. So up to that point, faith is there, but the minute it's acted upon, the power of God is released. I'm going to look at one more. I want us to look at this here. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified, starting in verse 4. It says, love endures long and is patient and kind. What does? Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Or you could say love is not boastful or vainglorious. Love does not display itself haughtily. Love is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. Love is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. So I'm going to stop here. This is faith acted upon. You could look at it another way. Faith, or it says here, love does something. It endures long. Didn't say you felt like enduring long, but faith comes, and then when we're in a situation where we have to endure long, it has to be acted upon, then the supernatural power of God gives you the ability to endure long. But if you're waiting for conditions to be right to endure long, you'll never make it. You will never have the power to be patient in the natural. You ain't never going to get there. If you think I'm getting better at it, no, you're not. Because there's going to be somebody that pushes a button that will cause you not to be patient. Somebody. So this says here, love. Well, what does the scripture say? God is love. So love is supernatural. And the supernatural love of God can only be manifested and released when I touch it by faith. When faith says, I'm going to do this, the love of God is, it's there. Love is here in us. God is in us. The love of God is there. The power of God was present to heal and did nothing. The love of God is present in us, but God's power is not released. The love of God in us is not released till we act on it. Anybody see that? It's there. Power of God is present in us. He's present. The love of God is present. But until we act upon it, then the power of God is released in us to be patient, to be kind, to endure long. You can't do it in the natural. I'm going to give you an example. This is my own personal example here. A number of years ago, there was a person that needed help. And he was a brother in Christ. He was going through a tough spot. And he asked me for some financial help. And I did. I felt impressed to do that. And so a lot of money was given. So, you know, he needed help and more 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 help. And of course, I obliged. But it got to a point where I just had a check and I just said, nope, that's it. The well is dry. I basically emptied my savings to help him. And it was a lot of money. And he left. And I was feeling some kind of way because I had felt I basically had been lied to. I'm not saying he had no good intentions, but he had no intentions to pay me back. And I was feeling like I wanted to do some bodily harm. I'm serious. I was very angry because I'd been lied to and my emotions were running pretty high. I was very upset. And the more I thought about it, the angrier I got. And if I saw him, I was going to hurt him. And I mean it. I was gonna flatten him, deck him, hurt him. I meant it. I was angry because you lied to me. And so this went on for a little bit, and down here I heard, let it go. And I said, I don't wanna let it go. I wanna hurt him. I'm serious, I'm angry. And I kept hearing, let it go. And I said, no. I'm upset. My flesh is upset. I'm upset. And if I see him, he gonna be upset.
I want my pound of flesh.
I did. I'm very serious. I wanted my pound of flesh. And so this back and forth, I kept hearing, let it go. And I'm like, no. And I finally, I said, that's the Lord. I got to let this go. I have to let it go. Because it was not doing me any good. And it was a lot of money. It was a lot of money for me. And so, I'd like to say it was real easy, like, woo, you know, praise the Lord. We're free. No, it was steps of faith. But I had to act first. I had to act on it. If I had not acted on it, it would have been in dead faith, and I would have been bitter and angry. But the love of God and the power of God was present to deliver me from that. But I had to take a step. And I took a step. It was through grit teeth. I figured this, brother, in Jesus' name. I did. I'm not saying it was easy. But you've got to take a step of faith. And so I took a little step. And I took a little step. And a little step. And what happened is, when I took the steps, the power of God was released. The love of God was released. Did I just go from point A to point B and go, woo? No. But it was steps. So every day, I said, Father, I thank you. And it got easier and easier and easier and easier to the place where the anger's gone. The hatred's gone. The get even is gone. And I'm feeling pretty good about it. I did. To the place where this person showed up at a church service. Now, normally, it would have gone on. It had been on. But I saw him, and I said, well, praise the Lord. And he came over and wanted to shake my hand like nothing happened. And I said, well, praise God. Good to see you. And I didn't feel any, because it's not my money now. I let it go. I did what the Lord told me. I planted it. I said, it's gone. It's. I sowed that money. And so, but it took steps to the place where I had to let the power of God begin to work in my spirit, work in my soul. And that's all we're saying here is that faith that does nothing won't work. It won't produce. And so sometimes some of us are looking for this instant manifestation of something. It may work that way. It may. But most times, the Bible, as those 10 lepers, they were healed as they went. They were delivered as they went. And so the same thing with me. I was delivered from that as I took steps of faith. As I released my words, as I meditated on it, as I confessed it, I said, Father, I thank you. Thank you that I sow this money into this person's life. I let it go. I believe that I'm delivered from this. And I'm serious. It was a struggle for me at first. But it was easy. I don't really know what would have happened if I hadn't let it go. It wouldn't have been good for me. Could have been. Because you don't know which doors you open up when you don't let things go. You can open doors to sickness. You can open doors to destruction. You open the doors to the enemy of your soul. And so, for me, I thank God. He'd been prompting me, let it go. He knows more than we do. Yes. He knows what's good for us. See, so sometimes when we say, he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, sometimes we go to God and we don't like the answer. We don't like, no, I don't like that answer, Lord. Right? We don't like that answer. Right? But you got to realize he's a rewarder. He's not trying to give you an answer that's going to hurt you or harm you. He wants your best. So when we get something from God and we don't like it, I just say put on your big boy pants and just take a deep breath and just follow the instructions. It'll be all right. And we'll grow, you see. So for me, that's how, you know, in for me, when I took those steps of faith, that's how I was able to operate. And for me, not being, you know, just ornery. And so for some of us, in this walk of faith, we're going to have to take some steps. You know, I for a long period of time, still do it now, but I've told this, I've shared this story about, you know, the Lord said to me during this time that I was praying many years ago, he said, and he knew how to speak to me in a way that I knew that it was him, and I knew exactly what he meant. He said to me, he said, if you would work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you wouldn't have room enough to contain it all. That's what he said to me. And he knew exactly what I would know what he meant by that. Because I've been working the word in the area of healing to the place where it was working in my life. I was getting results. But I wasn't working it in the area of finances. I wasn't operating faith in the area of finances. And so he said to me, if you do the same exact thing, you wouldn't have room enough to contain it all. I was listening to Pastor Hagen this week. They were streaming an event that he was at, one of their Living Faith Crusades from Arizona. And he was just sitting down sharing some things, and he said, you know, a lot of you, you know, you saw my dad in his latter years and, you know, the prosperity he was walking in, but he said, let me give you my story as his child. He said, we were poor and broke. And he said, and he started to share all the stories how they lived in these little just horrible conditions. And he shared how it got to the place that he said, yeah, he said, my dad was working healing. He said he got up off his deathbed with all of these incurable diseases, but he wasn't operating faith in the area of finances, just like I wasn't. And so he said his dad got to the place where they repossessed his car. He was hitchhiking, going around the United States, hitchhiking, taking buses, teaching faith. Broke. And he said, finally got to the place where the Lord spoke to him and said, if you do the same thing, it'll work. And so for the same thing, the Lord said basically the same thing to me, that if you'll operate this in the area of finances, you won't have room enough to contain it all. Well, I started to take that and just, as they say, like a rudder on a ship, I began to change my words, my confession, and the ship started turning around. And I remember, I tell this story, but I remember this is years ago, I didn't invest as a stockbroker. I didn't invest, it just wasn't a habit of mine. I didn't study the papers, I didn't study the stock market. But I'm home one day, and I heard quietly in quiet time, I heard this, buy Apple stock. I'm thinking, buy Apple stock, what for? You know, but I knew it was the Holy Ghost, and I didn't do it. The Apple stock, when he told me that, it was 40. And it had gone up to 700. And then split. And I don't know where it is now. It's probably a couple hundred, 200, 300. But he was trying to get money to me. And I had money to invest. But I didn't do it. Because it was, I rationalized it away. And I had the money to invest. And I didn't do it. So I learned something from that, that sometimes when we get directions from God, sometimes the unfamiliar, if we're not familiar with things, we need to just know that, look, it was God. Don't question it. Don't rationalize it away. Do it. Because he's looking to do something in your life. He's looking to prosper you. If he's telling you to go do something that's unfamiliar, do it. And so for me, I learned a big lesson with that. It was I have to take a deep breath every time I think about it. Because I think about the money that could have come in. But I said, Lord, I repent for that. And give me another chance. And just keep moving on. You know, it's not that we don't miss it. But faith, when God gives us directions, must be acted upon. Otherwise, it's dead. It won't produce anything. So the more we act upon something, the easier it gets. The more we act upon things, the easier it's going to become and easier it gets as we get directions from God, and it becomes actually more exciting. It becomes more exciting. So what are we trying to say today in all of this? That faith that is acted upon produces results. Faith that's acted upon, love results are produced in this area or any area. So if you don't act on it, it produces nothing. This is the point we're trying to make in all of this. So you've got to step out. You've got to take some baby steps where faith is concerned. You're going to have to take some steps. If God has put some things in your heart, then step out. Does that mean you're taking big steps, goofy steps, risky steps? They seem risky to you, but take little steps. Take little steps. You know, I'm thinking about some of the things that God has asked me to do, even like Pastor Sarah and Clinton. You know, quit their jobs, go out to Bible school out in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. They don't even know where it was. They thought it was an old Ronald Reagan, you know, place or whatever, you know, these places. So God is going to ask us to do some things, but we've got to have to take some steps. When I think about some of the things that God has asked me to do, quit my job and come work in the ministry, not knowing how much I'm going to get paid, not knowing what I'm going to do. And that was a big step, but I knew and I heard from God. It was bumpy to begin with, but you stick with it. And so, you know, every area of our life, it's not going to be easy sometimes, but faith, think about the story where Peter's concerned. He said, Lord, if that be you, come. He said, come on. He got out of the boat and he's walking on the water, but he took his eyes off of Jesus, put his eyes on the conditions, and he started to sink. And so the same thing. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. Don't put your eyes on the conditions and the situations. Just seek him. Keep your eyes on him, and you're going to get through. You're going to walk through and reach your destination. So faith that's not acted upon gets no results. So you're going to have to, whatever God is speaking to you, act on it. Act on it. It'll work. Faith works. Faith works in every area, not only just your health, not in just your family. Faith works. Faith is supernatural, and it works. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God.